Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
How do we win hearts and defend the right to life amid the charged abortion debate? Find easy, fast, and compelling answers to the most common challenges in Speaking for the Unborn, 30-second pro-life rebuttals to pro-choice arguments. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Hahn, and I want to invite you to register for our newest video study, premiering this coming Ash Wednesday, February 22nd, entitled Holy is His Name. To register for free streaming this Lent, go to stpaulcenter.com/holystudy.
Welcome to Letters from Home. I'm Joan Watson, and this is Thursday, January 26th, the memorial of Saints Timothy and Titus, bishops. I want to start by looking at Saint Timothy and Saint Titus, and then I want to pull three themes from their lives and from the readings today, especially the first reading, which we have two options for the first reading, and they are proper to the feast. And so whenever we celebrate saints' feast days, there's a couple different options for, do we have special readings? Do we not have special readings? And it has to do with the elevation and the rank of the feast. Today, even though it's a memorial, we do have proper first readings, but we have an option whether to choose from 2 Timothy or Titus. So let's start by looking at who are Timothy and Titus. Well, they are both disciples and companions of Saint Paul. Timothy, we know, was the son of a Jewish woman, Eunice, and had a Greek father. We learn this in Acts. And Timothy accompanies Paul during the apostle's second missionary journey. It appears he was already converted because of the witness of, as we'll see in the first reading, the witness of his mother and his grandmother. We don't know a lot about his early life. We don't know when he was converted to Christianity, but he does accompany Paul during the apostle's second missionary journey. He is sent to Thessalonica to encourage the Christians. Then he comes back to Paul when Paul's in Corinth. But we see throughout the letters of Paul that he's a constant companion, that Paul calls him brother, fellow worker, beloved child. And in Philippians 2, he says, I have no one like him. So he loves Timothy. Timothy is a loyal, faithful disciple, a companion. He is mentioned, he's a co-sender of 6 of Paul's letters. And then, of course, he's the recipient of the first and second letters to Timothy. At the time, he's in Ephesus, reforming the Christian community. And the first letter to him emphasizes this pastoral responsibility that he has to preserve the church, this unity of doctrine. But the second letter, which is where our first reading comes from, the second letter is really Paul's final testament during his imprisonment to Rome to his beloved Timothy, and we'll get to that in a minute. It seems that Timothy later is himself put in prison, but we don't know specifically, we don't know much about his later ministry, but tradition says he was martyred in Ephesus at an old age. Now, Titus is a Christian as well, he's a Gentile Christian who becomes one of Paul's companions, fellow laborers in the vineyard as well. He appears with Paul in Jerusalem in Galatians 2 when they have the debate over circumcision. He's mentioned several times. He's sent as Paul's representative to the Corinthians. He's sent to oversee the collection for the church in Jerusalem, we see in 2 Corinthians 8. And of course, he's the recipient of the letter to Titus, which is another option for our first reading. And so we see in that reading that he had gone to Crete with Paul, and he is supposed to organize the community there. Paul says, this is why I left you in Crete. So they went to Crete. Apparently, Paul continued onward. He leaves Titus as his successor in Crete. He says, you might amend what was defective, is the Revised Standard Version's translation, and appoint elders or presbyters in every town. So this letter to Titus suggests that Titus is a companion of Paul, but is left behind in Crete to sort the church out, right? To establish the church there. And then he's supposed to meet Paul later. Later, we find him in Dalmatia. He's serving at the time when 2 Timothy is written. So when Paul is nearing the end of his life in prison, probably under the reign of Nero, he writes 2 Timothy. We have then Titus in Dalmatia. So tradition tells us that Titus returned to Crete and served there as bishop. We read that in the histories of Eusebius. So we have two options, as I mentioned, for the first reading. And the one of the options comes from Titus, as I've mentioned, and then the other one comes from this second letter to St. Timothy, which again is Paul's final testament during his imprisonment in Rome. So three themes I'd like to draw out from the lives of Timothy and Titus, and especially from as we see it here in 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 8. So we have the beginning of this beautiful final testament, this goodbye, in a sense, that Paul is writing to his beloved disciple, to his companion. And the first theme I want to draw out is the theme of friendship. We see in this reading, he calls Timothy, my dear child. So it's not just son, but this really tender address. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child. So there's this friendship that has come between the two men. We read later that there were tears when they parted. He said, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. I yearn to see you again, recalling your tears so that I may be filled with joy. I think sometimes we might pass over some of this and think, you know, this isn't as important as the deep theology of the letters of Paul. But I want to really focus on the fact that these men were friends, dear friends. Remember, he told the Philippians, I have no one like him. And the importance of having friends in Christ, that there's an importance in having friends that are our companions in the gospel, that they work alongside us in the mission field, that we can share our deepest hopes and desires and dreams and sufferings with them. You know, I think it's tempting to want to have a lot of friends, but what's most important is that you have a friend with which you can really share your heart. And it's important. We see, you know, I think to the gospel story of the paralytic lowered through the roof. And I think of those men who were willing to come and be an embarrassment, to be embarrassed in front of people by lowering this man through the roof. That's what they were willing to do for their friend. And the importance of having friends who hold you accountable, who understand the gospel and your desire to live a life of virtue, a friend that is going to call you onward in Christ, a friend that is willing to bring you to Christ, as those friends of the paralytic were willing to do anything. They were willing to do anything for their friend, to get their friend to Christ, to get their friend in front of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because of their faith that Christ heals the paralytic. And so here, I think we shouldn't just gloss over this beginning of the second letter, because again, the second letter is Paul's testament, his last final testament, and he's writing to his dear friend, Timothy. And they were so close and so dear, there were tears shed when they had to say goodbye. And so I think the first theme of this feast is find a Timothy in your life. Find a friend, whether that's a spouse or a dear friend, who is your companion in this pilgrimage of faith. And I pray that we all may have a friend like Timothy. The second theme I think we can pull out of the lives of Timothy and Titus is the fidelity to the gospel. You know, Paul entrusts them with things like ordering the church. We know they were both bishops. They received laying on of hands. We see specifically in this reading from 2 Timothy. But this fidelity to the gospel, that both disciples, their lives are really marked by faithfulness, by love for the church, and fidelity to Christ and to Paul, right? Their fidelity to Paul is because they are faithful to Christ and the gospel. I think it's important to note Timothy is a Christian because of his family. In this second letter, Paul says, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and that I'm confident lives also in you. This importance of faith passed on in families. Again, we don't know much about Timothy before his conversion or before, you know, was he raised in the faith? What time period are we talking? But we know he's young and we know that he received the faith from his mother and his grandmother. And so those of you who are parents, those of you who are grandparents, this message today is to be faithful to the gospel so that our children see that fidelity in us and we pass that on in our families. And so this importance of the faith then passed on in family life. So be faithful to the gospel. The third theme is that I see in this letter to Timothy is that of courage. Timothy and Titus continue the work of Paul. Ultimately, of course, they continue the work of Jesus Christ. And Timothy will be Paul's successor, right? We see that, you know, that Titus is left behind in Crete and Timothy is setting up churches, that they are Paul's successors in continuing his work. And Paul is writing this to continue to encourage Timothy in this. And he says, "For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands," a reference to priestly ministry. "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." Again, Paul is writing this from prison, and Timothy may, you know, they've parted in tears. Timothy misses Paul. Perhaps he wants Paul's guidance. Perhaps he's looking, perhaps in his youth, he feels inadequate, and he wishes that if only Paul was here, he would be able to handle these people. Or am I doing the right thing? I need Paul. And Paul says, "No, I have given you, through the laying on of hands, this ministry of the priesthood, and God is now giving you not a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. You've been given this. Now it's time to stir it up." John Chrysostom has a beautiful homily on this letter, the second epistle of St. Paul to Timothy. And he says it, this is a quote from John Chrysostom, "It requires much zeal to stir up the gift of God. As fire requires fuel, so grace requires our alacrity that it may be ever fervent." Okay, what's John Chrysostom saying here? But that it's not enough just to receive the grace, but that we need to be ready to receive it and we might need to stir it up to keep it fervent. So it's obviously not our work, it's the Lord's work, right? So we have to ask the Holy Spirit, "Stir up the grace I have received." John Chrysostom is referring to this part of the epistle because he quotes, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands." So he's referencing this verse. And then John Chrysostom says, "That is the grace of the Spirit, which thou hast received for presiding over the church, for the working of miracles, and for every service." He continues, "For this grace, it is in our power to kindle or extinguish." Interesting. We receive the grace, we're given the grace, but now what are we going to do with it? Are we going to stir it up? Are we going to ask the Holy Spirit to stir up this grace, to give us that zeal? Or are we going to extinguish it? John Chrysostom continues, "For by sloth and carelessness it is quenched, and by watchfulness and diligence it is kept alive. For it is in thee indeed, but do thou render it more vehement. That is, fill it with confidence, with joy and delight. Stand manfully." So what's he saying here? He's repeating this exhortation of St. Paul to Timothy and saying, you've received the grace and we have received the grace. If you're a priest, you've received it by the laying on of hands of a bishop and you've received that grace for ministry. If you're a baptized Christian, you've received that grace of being priest, prophet, and king, of preaching his word, of living the Christian life. You've received that grace in baptism. If you've been confirmed, that grace of baptism has been perfected in you to live that life of the Spirit, to go out and be witness to Christ and his cross. If you've received the sacrament of holy matrimony, you've received the grace to live that vocation of service, to live in service to your spouse and in service to the world through that love of your spouse. You've received the grace to live that sacrament and to do it well and to live the Christian life in holy matrimony with the raising up of an education of children. So we've received these graces. We've received these graces. If we receive the Holy Eucharist, when we receive the grace of confession and absolution, we've received these amazing graces. But now what? Are they lying dormant in our soul because we aren't stirring them up? We aren't asking the Lord to stir them up. Are we careless? Are we lazy? That's how we quench the fire. That's how we quench the Spirit. That's how we pour a bunch of water on that kindling. But if we pray to the Spirit and say, I know I've received the grace, it's been a while, and I need to be re-energized. Remember, John Chrysostom, as fire requires fuel, so grace requires our alacrity, our brisk, our cheerful acceptance, our readiness to go do the will of the Father. Stir it up. And so on this feast of St. Timothy and St. Titus, bishops, I ask for the grace in my own life and I ask for the grace in your life to stir up that flame of the Spirit, to stir up that grace that we've been given, to go out and be faithful to the gospel, to be faithful to Christ, to continue the work of Christ here on earth, to go out and proclaim his word as Timothy and Titus did so faithfully, and to seek out those good friendships, those companionships who are going to lead us closer to Christ. Look at the friendships you have. Do they lead you closer or farther away from Christ? Depending on the answer, we have a hard decision to make. So seek Christ, seek holy friendships, be courageous, because God has given you not a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. Happy Feast of St. Timothy and Titus. St. Timothy and Titus, pray for us. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes technical director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.